This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
They're back.
We love America.
Hey.
I like that laugh.
La, 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 la.
Jesus' name, amen.
Thought about killing myself.
Ding. The ding makes it so funny because it is a crowd validating that.
Thought about killing myself.
I like, I love Family Feud. I watch mm-hmm. so much Family Feud. Maybe it's kind of like I have a kind of a comedy nerd numbness, but all I laugh at these days, the only thing that can make me laugh is Steve Harvey mugging.
I think that's not an uncommon thing.
Yeah.
I think that...
Wait, the only thing that can make you laugh, period, in life anymore is Steve Harvey's face.
And that, I can't believe it.
Oh my gosh,
that's
a miracle.
But I watch so much Family Feud. I watch Celebrity Family Feud. I watch Vanilla Ass, you know, Normal Family, sure. Family Feud.
Right.
And I
Richard
just...
Richard Karn Family Feud.
Oh, no. I will not watch Karn.
He draws a line at Al Borland's Family Feud when he was briefly hosting it.
I like the game. I am there for the mugging.
Yes,
and the purple
course.
Suits.
Yes.
And yeah, I love it when, the answer will be like, boobs. And then the Family Feud writers, when the card flips over, it'll be like, massive gazongas. And then if they didn't get it right, the whole family will have to say in unison, massive gazongas. I think I've seen meat melons for boobs.
Oh,
meat
sure.
melons?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They're trying.
I want to see like a profile someday of the Family Feud writer's room is the happiest place on earth to work and show up.
I mean,
anti-Ellen.
Was that like a long... slow turn into kind of the way Family Feud is now, or did it used to be, or has it always been a little wink, a little something?
That's a great question.
That's Steve's contribution.
No, I think that's Steve's effect.
Oh,
I think
really?
It's the Harvey effect, certainly.
Yeah, I think now the questions will point towards those answers. It'll be like, name a thing you shove in you.
Yeah,
and then an old lady will say penis, and the audience goes nuts. And Steve
looks mad at
the
everyone.
Camera, like, why would you say that? And I am on the floor. I am on the floor.
It's really almost like a mythological narrative.
Yeah,
that show is of the, you know, arguably the funniest man alive being
sure.
trapped on a sound stage with like the people
mm-hmm.
and what they think is funny.
Right.
Yeah.
But then he is doing the best work of his life.
Every week.
Like I'll watch a hot buzzy comedy like The Curse.
Sure.
And I'll appreciate it. Like
be
yes.
Nodding.
Mm-hmm, yes, this is good. Good satire. But I won't laugh.
Oh.
No.
It takes
not for laughing.
That's what gets me.
Yeah, are you watching Curse?
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Yeah, it's not for laughing.
I'm nodding.
It's really not for laughing,
I'm doing,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also like it too. I'm watching it and I think it is very good and the satirical targeting is right on point.
It's right on point.
We deserve it. That's yes. what I say.
More.
Oh, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah. I went to a coffee shop like that this morning.
Damn it. Yeah.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have Good Christian Fun. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where I snap at Dexter from time to time. But, you know, I kind of look like Fonzie when I do it, right? When I go like
right.
that.
Yeah.
Then you punch the jukebox that's next to you.
You're doing a West Side Story preference.
And it breaks. It never turns on. It just breaks.
I keep hitting it. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies and the music and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church. We're just here to have fun in the year 2024. And we're doing our first full official episode in the year 2024. Last week, we did a pilot presentation in which Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant had a chat.
We ceded our time.
Yeah, we ceded our time to those that we gave a voice to the voiceless platformed the marginalized Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant.
I know who Amy Grant is. There's a lot of Amy Grant on in my house growing up, but I don't know who Michael W. Smith is. Ugh,
the central pain of Michael W. Smith's life.
Do you think he feels
every
like Garfunkel?
Single day.
Like, honestly?
At least we know Garfunkel's name.
Garfunkel is really lucky that his name is Garfunkel. It's,
yeah.
That he has a funny
I'm
memorable name.
I'm Garfunkel. Yeah, maybe if it's Michael W. Garfunkel.
That is probably it.
Yeah.
But imagine if
Witchy-watchy. Michael W. Witchy-watchy. He just give him a kooky.
Oh, yeah.
That would stand the test of time.
Yeah, no, it's more of a branding failure for him than anything else.
Is he like Amy Grant's collaborator? Is he like
very much so, yes. They've written a lot of songs together.
He was a star
together.
In his own right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he's extremely handsome. Uh-huh. And you can't believe how far that carried him in the CCM world. And he was like... I don't think he's ever been her equal as far as like stardom.
No.
But he's very much like within the CCM world, okay. like the right. guy, or he was for like years and years and years.
Amy Grant had breakout
right.
secular
yes.
consciousness
sure.
and right. like, you know, there's literally 30 Rock jokes where she's, you know, the specific punchline.
Right.
But MWS and really no one else from that world besides Pat Benatar
right.
would like even deign to.
But they're like friends and they've done a lot of tours together
okay.
and they'll do songs together and they've just kind of like they do an annual Christmas tour together every
oh,
year
cute.
Now
okay.
and so they've become associated
even
with,
in
like,
2020
yeah. especially so
packed little clubs tiny little clubs
right.
intimate
yeah
clubs.
It was only intimate venues
yeah
like Joanne
get in here
a new Christmas classic called Mask Off for Santa.
Santa can't see you if you're wearing a mask. You won't know who to bring the presents
you won't know.
To.
Gracious. So they did their pilot presentation for HeadGum last week.
Oh,
that
good.
Was a lot of fun to listen
mixed
to.
Mixed reviews.
What
yeah,
are they,
they did get mixed reviews,
yeah.
actually.
So is it just like a Lucy Goose chat show?
Yeah.
Are they recapping Battlestar Galactica? What are they
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, they're going through each episode of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, maybe they do need to pivot to like recapping a TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
like
they need
track.
To do Movie Heaven or something.
We could suggest it to them.
But when I listened to it, I thought they had a lot of fun doing it and they don't have any regrets about what they did.
They had a good time.
And if you can't get on board the Smith Grant train, then it's leaving the station
choo-choo.
Without you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, choo-choo to you. Sorry to use such strong language about it. But now we're back in our regular format with a guest, with contemporary Christian music as our subject. We're doing singles ministry, and we're talking about the band Fillmore. Not Gilmore, but Fillmore.
Right.
And we have a very special guest to help us talk about it. So you've heard him already. He's talking before he's introduced like the pro that he is. But friends and folks, he's a writer, a comedian. You may know him from his other graphic novel, Bubble, and his upcoming one, Youth Group. Give it the hell up for Jordan Morris!
Hey, thank
Welcome
you.
Back.
It's been a while since I've been here, but I'm sure it will be Worth the Wait, which
the
is
wait.
A song we'll be talking
oh,
about.
Oh, hell yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
And that's why, how many episodes of JGO? JJO? JJGO.
JJGO. Oh, yes. Jordan Jesse Go, the chat podcast I host with Jesse Thorne.
That's
We're in,
right.
like the six hundos these days.
Woo!
Yeah.
My
so
gosh.
That's a lot. Caroline, I forgot to tell you this, and I forgot to tell everyone while we were doing it. Sorry about whatever Dexter's doing right now. He's celebrating.
Taking care of Dexter.
The self-care is so important. It's so important.
This is how he shows respect. Right. He's like, I'm comfortable enough to do this in front of you.
Monkey see, monkey do. Yeah.
That's not true.
Let's all do a little maintenance. Let's all take a cue from Dexter.
The holiday draft episode, that was our 300th episode of Second Service. So we are technically 600 episodes deep into all together the Good Christian Fun.
So cool.
Project.
Wow. Okay.
Which is wild to think
about. The Christian Fun Project.
And you guys are just getting started.
It's always in the works.
Yeah.
We're just about to hit our stride.
Perfected. Which is a lot of our Apple podcast reviews.
Still in the R&D phase. We're
still seeing what sticks. Still making sure this is the right fit for co-hosts, right?
Yeah.
Like this is good.
Get a new pet in here every week.
New pet.
Oh, can you imagine?
Swap out Dexter for a little beta fish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Emphasis on beta. But here we are.
Beta.
Man, Jordan, when was the last time we had you on the show?
It's been a hot second.
It was over Zoom.
I think we did a Zoom episode maybe about MXPX, I believe.
Yeah, we sure did.
Another Christian adjacent pop punk band.
I was like, oh, we just had you on. It was legitimately 3 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yes.
It was May of 2021.
We've gone through so many changes.
Much time has passed.
Yeah. You're pregnant. I've got this beard. We're totally different people.
I know. It's same thing.
Jordan's gesturing at Caroline, not me. Yeah. Just for the listener at home.
I'm gesturing at Dexter.
Yeah.
He's like, what?
Maybe I'm bored.
And again, I've said it before. I'll say it again. If I could be pregnant right now, I would.
In solidarity with Caroline.
Thank you, Kevin.
I could take that child.
You are an ally. Brave.
But we haven't talked about a main feed. Caroline is pregnant. We talked about it in second service. There's people that might be listening to this right now and hearing for the first
time. Oh my God, did I drop
that
bomb?
Pregnant.
I didn't mean to. That's your bomb.
No, that's
to drop.
Wonderful.
I don't.
Yeah, no, I will be dropping a bomb.
A
few months.
A human bomb.
Countdown.
Yeah, do you feel a little bit like Oppenheimer in the first 30 minutes of that movie?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen it, but
I just realized that
bomb wise, I understand that's what it's about. At hospital, it will be a little Hiroshima if you know what I mean.
Oh, no. Oh, gracious. It's a hospital birth? I've never asked you this.
Yeah.
Well, some people do home births.
Some people do home birth.
I was a home birth. A lot of home birthers.
You were a home birth?
I was a home birther. Sounds like a grassroots campaign against Obama.
Obama was born at home.
Yeah, it's like, maybe.
I don't know.
I was a home birth, famously. You know this about me. I came out not breathing.
Oh my gosh.
I had an umbilical cord that was tied around my neck. And you were
pulling it.
I was like,
get me out of here.
Please. Already, I had a little twisted sense of humor coming out.
A little prank on mom.
He likes the gag.
No, but I was dead quiet. And then the midwife said to my dad, it's okay, just talk to him and rub his chest. Like the idea was to like massage my lungs and get some air.
So your dad did the massaging?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. And just started talking to me.
Brought you back to life.
Yeah. And I was like,
what is he like? There's a new season of Garfield going so soon. You can't miss this.
This was 1989, so I don't even know if Garfield and Friends was on yet.
What? Is that the first words you made?
Pretty soon, Nickelodeon is going to start producing its own cartoons. You're going to miss, if you die now, you'll miss Ren and Stimpy. You'll miss Doug. You'll miss Rugrats.
I'm so sorry. I need to fact check myself. Garfield premiered Garfield and Friends September 17th, 1988.
Okay.
So just a full year. But the thing I do associate, like what we were talking about before, Simpsons came on 2 months after I was born. So I am, Simpsons and I are the same age.
On the same age, always. And so when you forget how old you are,
you're both as good as you've ever been.
Yeah. Arguably, we're both getting better each consecutive. I don't know if y'all have heard any recent clips, but Julie Kavner's fighting for her life.
The voices are tough. They've been doing it a while. Yeah,
really?
Mr. Burns is struggling a little bit.
No,
yeah, I do still kind of keep up with it. I do still just watch it every week as a matter of habit, and I do still enjoy the show a lot.
Oh, we got friends working on the show like Mangle and Brothy, but
Those voice actors are getting older.
no.
I mean, if a woman for 35 years of her life talks like this.
Yeah, geez. Yeah.
And she's in her mid-70s, it will have an effect.
And has to do periodically like four versions of that, too. Yes. You know, have to have four different, you know, like Patty and Selma. And anyway, yeah.
So. Yeah.
Dang. Have you ever been to a table read for the show?
You know, that's like this LA thing that I haven't done yet. You get invited to that Simpsons table read.
Oh, really?
I'm a huge fan. I'm a super fan. And yeah, it would be fun to do, but I haven't done it.
Putting it out there.
I went to one 10 years ago, and I think I had Nancy Cartwright sign a script or something. It was a long time ago. But they were all there, and it was wild to hear it in the room. And James L. Brooks.
Oh, neat.
Just
at
the table, just this legendary guy who probably didn't have anything better to do that day. But there must be something nice to that. Anyway, we could talk about some stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a nice little spread of food.
And- mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how was the food?
How was the food?
The food, there were like little sandwiches. It wasn't like super uppity, but it was also, I think, during a weird time where I think Harry Shearer was like, we need more money because haven't made enough money on The Simpsons.
Oh.
And so he wasn't there and someone was calling in instead for him. It was during a transitory time, but then they like ironed things out.
Huh.
But all that to say, congratulations to Caroline.
Congratulations to Caroline.
Yeah.
Who knows what legendary animated show will premiere this year?
What will be debuting? Yeah, that could sort of time the child's life by, you know, whenever I forget.
Sure, Dan Harmon's got something coming out this year.
Oh, I hope it's Dan Harmon.
Yeah, Rick and Morty's son. Is that what we're aiming for?
I really hope so.
I just got this vision. I never thought about this before, but I'm like, I don't know, maybe like 10 years from now, Uncle Kevin takes little Elmo Ely to the movies. The son's name is going to be Elmo.
Is it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I'm kind of willing this into existence. I think
if
it would
you
be
say it enough.
Elmo Garfield Ely is a beautiful name.
Elmo Garfield Gerbert Ely.
Would you let me take your son to the movies just to have like a little hang?
Of course. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got to let him learn the ways of, you know. How to sit in the theater, how to do it correctly.
Here's how you don't
quietly.
Crinkle. Here's how you
silently fume at someone that isn't eating quietly.
He can learn so many passive aggressive tactics and techniques.
How
me.
To talk about it afterward.
Oh,
know,
my gosh.
Important. Yeah. Wait, what movie were you going to take him to?
Well, what's coming out in 10 years? Deadpool 5? I guess I'll take him to that.
Sure.
Maybe the reboot of Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer 2.
Yeah.
Or Oppenheimer's got a six pack or something.
Right. It's the thing, right? They're like, we need kind of a Riverdale version of Oppenheimer. Kind of a sexy,
young,
hot, fuckable Oppenheimer.
Hot Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer got hot.
Whoa.
Wow. I mean, some would argue hot right now, the way
he
is.
Yeah, yeah.
But gracious, yes. Much to look forward to. In 2024.
Yeah.
Cole Sprouse is the father of the atomic bomb.
He could do it.
He'll be dad era.
He could do anything.
He could absolutely do it. Oh, yeah. Dexter's growling a little bit right now.
He's moaning.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jordan, welcome back.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. It's great to be here.
3 years. What's happened in the last 3 years?
Basically, the beard.
Spiritually.
Let's talk about the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of you grew beards in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The beard. The beard and my interest in Family Feud.
Yeah, okay. That's grown as well.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
Well, we're catching you on a kind of busy day today.
Yes.
You're doing this in the morning. What are you going to be doing later this afternoon?
Oh, my gosh. So I am going to see a past podcast topic, MXPX.
No way.
Live. Got a lovely text from our, you guys know Bria Grant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bria Grant, great writer, great podcaster, great director. Also, former youth group kid, former ska punk kid.
Send her our way.
She had an in to see MXPX at the Palladium, knew that it was part of my childhood, asked me if I wanted to go with a little crew, and we're heading out there. It's going to be really fun.
I'm so curious what a Palladium show, because when you said it, I figured... Oh, this will be a show in Pomona or Orange County.
Yeah.
But it's in the heart of Hollywood
itself,
we're
like
the
Run the Jewels plays when they come to town.
Where I was there like last month seeing Jenny Lewis and MXPX will be gracing the same stage.
Wow.
Will the venue be too big? Sometimes.
Room to dance.
Yes.
You know.
Dance. It's always play out. But no, I'm really excited. Less Than Jake is opening for them.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Reliant K. I know there's a bunch of, I know they're kind of part of that Tooth and Nail crew. Anyway, so yeah, it should be a nostalgic good time.
Are all the original band members still there?
Great question. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
He'll find out tonight.
I'll find out tonight. I'll let you know.
And if he's not
I'll text you periodically.
Yeah, let me know.
I'm like, this drummer looks weird.
If you're in the audience and you're unsure, just ask. Oh, he just got ugly.
Gordon.
Oh, wow, what a bitch.
Usually drummers glow up over the...
Right,
If they don't sadly pass away prematurely, they glow up.
Right, yes.
Well, that's the thing about
distinguished
drummers.
With age.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Is, you know... What's the thing that that drummer said, Dazed and Confused? My bandmates keep getting older and I die prematurely.
Right. Oh my God. That famous line.
I believe on Helm, he died like 14 years ago. But he outlived many of his bandmates from the band. And so there's exceptions to it. Why is that? Why did drummers pass away?
The drummer's
away?
Curse.
Good question. Yeah, maybe just like heart issues. You get the blood pumping when you're doing those solos.
Oh, and you would think that would be like good for them, you know, the cardio, the aerobic exercise. Yeah, I don't know. But,
yeah, but if it's coupled with an unhealthy life, otherwise off stage, or like a lot of substances.
A lot of drummers are addicted to drumsticks.
Right.
Well, like eating
chicken drumsticks.
Yeah. ice cream drumsticks. Right. Anything called a drumstick. Yeah,
this
drumsticks.
Is all I understand. So they'll just like shotgun.
Right. All they understand is drumsticks.
Nestle
right.
drumsticks.
Anything called
and
a drumstick.
And then they're done for, right. you know, once they discover the ice cream ones.
Gosh, I love a drumstick.
So good.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Max Weinberg, I wonder if he'll outlive everyone in the E Street Band. I think about that sometimes.
Oh, right.
Because he's pounding the skins at like 75 or whatever he is.
Wow. Now.
Right. You're a Springsteen guy, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy and appreciate it.
So your favorite drummer, Max Weinberg?
Max Weinberg. Well, he's just the drummer I'm most familiar with. I don't know if that makes him my favorite. You know what I mean? It's almost like via repetition.
Travis Barker.
Who's
Live
Travis
and well.
Barker?
Kourtney Kardashian's husband.
Is he a drummer?
He's, what was it? Blink?
Blink 182.
Blink 182 drummer.
It started out in the Aquabats, if you remember.
Oh,
that.
I don't
remember
no way. Huh. Yeah, he's lived.
I mean, we can all think of drummers
and co-owns a great vegan restaurant here in town. I don't know if you guys have been to Crossroads.
Really?
That's right.
Well, maybe you've unlocked why he's lived so long.
Could be. Oh, yeah, right. Vegan drumsticks.
Vegan drumsticks. Vegan you can eat drumsticks. As many of those as you want.
Right.
You'll
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah, it's actually unhealthy for you to not eat as many vegan drumsticks.
Vegan drumsticks.
If he
just
stops
celery.
Eating them, he'll die.
It's keeping him together.
So MXP. So the crew tonight, is it mostly like former youth kids? Like,
I think so, yeah.
Okay, youth kids.
Yeah.
So. Fun. Oh
yeah, it'll be cool. Yeah, so MXPX is one of those bands where their first couple albums, pretty Christian, and then kind of like... Dropped the Jesus, you
it's
know,
cleaner,
yeah, and but also you know you could kind of tell that's what they were singing about, and now I think are full secular. Okay. So yeah.
Oh, and how do you know they're full secular? Are they saying bitch?
They're,
the lyrics and things like that.
God, I do think they have.
Caroline just sweated a little bit even thinking about.
And they say, oh, are they saying the B word?
Crap.
I do think there is some light swearing in their recent music.
Light swearing. Okay.
Maybe a shit or two.
A la Taylor.
They would never have done on Tooth and Nail Records.
Right.
That's your analog for someone who's sworn lightly in their later careers, Taylor
They're
Swift.
Tailoring.
right. They're in their bitch era.
That is kind of similar where like so much of her audience is literal children, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Spelling is fun, kids or whatever.
Still are children.
And then she's like, God damn. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Does Taylor, how much swearing does Taylor have in her music?
Fairly light.
Yeah, very, okay. very light. And I only like maybe the last two or three albums.
Okay.
Is it even like noticeable?
Right.
Like this most recent one. A lot of people were talking about that. Like every other song had like damn or like
cum dumpster.
Fucking. Yeah, and cum dumpster.
The C word was the whole chorus of
yeah,
her last track. Yeah. MXPX put out an album.
In my cum dumpster era.
Taylor. Yeah, that was one of the nine eras on her t-shirt.
One of the pictures like, is just a little dumpster.
Well, I'm a 1989 fan. And
right.
Friends a Lover
me,
fan.
Some people like Midnight.
Everyone has their era.
Everyone has
like.
Their era.
MXPX put out an album last year.
Yeah. And wow. they've and I think if I'm remembering our re-listen correctly, it didn't hold up great. I think we listened to one of their early albums that was a little more religious, and if I'm remembering correctly, we did not like it. But yeah,
we listened to Teenage Politics.
Teenage Politics.
Their almost 20-year-old album.
Right.
Or excuse me, almost 30-year-old album.
Boy. Death, she's a coming. Yeah. Round coming round the bend.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I do think their more recent music is really cool. I think they've blossomed into fine young pop punk guys.
Good boys. Are they, is the sound still pretty similar?
Yeah, same vibe. They have not like abandoned the kind of skate punk song. And yeah, and there's still a lot of songs about like, I'm just going to get in the car and drive. I'm just going to leave this town. A lot of songs about leaving this one horse town and getting out and just driving and seeing where I end up.
This will give you a little taste of their flavor now, Caroline. The tracks are Not Today, This Is What You Told Me, What I Tell Myself, Excuse My French, Stay Up All Night. That's actually their most streamed song from their newest album, is Stay Up All Night. Very similar to the old stuff.
Yeah.
But perhaps like slightly more melodic.
Yeah, definitely. It's those hooks are there. The harmonies are there. So yeah, it's a little less kind of screaming and a little more.
A little more like music.
Yeah, a little more music. Yeah.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. What's the best case scenario for you of like, maybe with like a pop punk show like this or something you're revisiting from your nostalgic childhood, but even for going to a show like this in 2024 in your adult life, like what's the best case scenario for the kind of night that you have in terms of your connection with the other crowd members that are there? Crowd members, Jesus.
Hello, fellow crowd members. Are you here to enjoy the music as well?
I pass out cards like people do when they bring their babies on plane. Like, hello, crowd members.
Hello.
I hope we have a lovely night of music
together.
Give
them a little bag of Halloween candy.
Aww, that's so nice.
Man, I should try that.
Sorry for my crying. I'm going to be crying. So, apologizing to you.
Man, I should apologize in advance.
Yeah.
So viral on TikTok.
That's the key. Listen. Do I get in the pit anymore? No. Can't handle it. My feet are sore.
You gotta be careful with those knees.
Gotta be careful with the knees.
Sweet girl, as we age.
I had to visit a podiatrist the other day.
Oh, damn. Yeah, your tootsies are
my tootsies are
ragged.
Yeah, I got ouchies on my tootsies. we'll have a couple of drinks. Maybe we'll all sing along. I kind of like that moment where we realize, hey, we're all singing along. We all know this. Maybe you put your arm around your friend and think about those days when everything seemed possible, when you just got in the car and drove.
And your foot worked on that pedal.
Easy. I could step on the pedal without my arches hurting.
When the little piggies wouldn't squeal at the very pressure of an accelerator.
I didn't have to go see Dr. Stein and get a cream for my fungus.
The days I didn't know Dr. Stein.
I didn't even know who Dr. Stein was, man.
Oh, it's okay, Dexter.
Yeah.
Oh, he got worried for you and he wanted to comfort you. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
It's okay, Dexter. I got a cream for it.
Stop trying to dominate.
He's so compassionate. Look how compassionate he is.
A cream?
How much live music do y'all see?
When I think about it, I'm like, oh, I never go. But I went to like 12 concerts last year.
Okay.
Which I guess for some would be not that much.
A lot.
But yeah, who did I see last year? I saw Jenny Lewis. I saw The Killers. I saw Boy Genius twice.
Okay.
Kid Rock a few times.
I saw Kid Rock. Yeah, but that was less for the music, more just like because I
support.
Yeah,
right.
I bought a bunch of tickets for shows I didn't go to of his. Because I wanted to vote with my dollar.
Right, exactly. And then you got a couple of cases of Bud Light to smash. you go because you like smashing cases of Bud Light, and it's okay to do.
Yeah, and that's the only place now that it's kind of socially acceptable.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Because you can't do anything these days.
If you smash a case of Bud Light in Wokafornia, then the snowflake...
They'll send you to Mexico?
Yeah.
Amy Grant and they'll
because they're like, you like it there? It's like, okay.
Look, the woke police doesn't have a fully thought out sort of punishment
system. We have a meeting planned where we're going to work this out.
The point is that it's loose.
Its scheduling is hard. The woke police are all busy.
Busy. Life gets, crazy.
I don't know. Like, maybe on average, like 10 a year on the heavy end, gorgeous. I guess.
Okay.
I'm like a stadium show girl. I'll go for a big pop star.
Right. It's got to be a big night out.
Big night out.
I don't think I've ever been to a stadium show. And I was thinking that when this year, your Taylors and your Beyoncés came to town.
Yeah.
I've never been to something like that. And I've always wanted to do it.
Yeah. I recommend it. They usually start on time.
Ooh, I love that.
Huge. There's a seat.
We're so old.
No, I've always been this way.
I remember I remember going to my first concert. Not my first concert ever, but the first one where at the end I thought, well, that was a good length. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I am very old.
The runtime was just right.
And it was like, nice. What, 90 minutes or something?
Yeah.
Beautiful length, yeah.
It's fun, yeah. Plus, you get some fireworks. You get some showmanship, which I appreciate. So I liked it.
You went to both Taylor and Beyonce?
I did, yes.
Which one is better?
Oh my gosh.
Make the other fandom mad.
They suck.
Jordan, Caroline, stop. We have to stop doing this, pitting women against each other.
Oh my God. Right. I never thought about it that way.
This is the sort of wisdom I'm going to impart to little Elmo.
Elmo, stop pitting women against each other.
Don't listen to your mother.
Don't listen to her.
There's room at the table for everyone.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Very, very different, obviously, very amazing. I thought, I don't know. Well, Taylor's songs I know a lot more. And so that was exciting to sing along and just be like in the lore I'm a lot more attuned to. Beyonce's show was just better. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it had a better, Taylor, I've talked about this before. She's very literal with her visuals. She's singing about a cloud. She'll be on a cloud, about a pond. She will be in a pond.
Shake it off, and they're all drinking milkshakes.
Exactly. So it's fun. It's cool to look at. Yeah. And Beyonce is a little more artistic, avant-garde, more unusual, surprising, that kind of thing.
I appreciate it a lot. There's
a unifying vision at work too.
Yes. And I guess with both those tours, you could go see them in movie theater. Did you go back and watch the movies?
I didn't, because I was like, one, I had to pay for it on top of my A-list membership, which I'm resentful of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
So I might watch it on streaming. We'll see. Okay. Beyonce's, I would more so, I've said this before, but because she has some backstage stuff. Taylor didn't do any backstage stuff.
Really?
Just the concert.
By all accounts, Renaissance is a better movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Eras Tour, where it's just a little point shoot, here it is again.
Yeah, Beyonce, you get a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, which that's okay. I couldn't have seen that any other way.
You get to see the real human her in moments of vulnerability that maybe she doesn't want
There's a whole scene of her on the toilet.
I didn't even know.
It's
a lot of shitting. It's a lot of Beyonce shitting.
Because that's always the sell point with this. It's seeing people vulnerable and these are
right. She's just looking at her phone.
Seeing a Beyonce going through it on the can.
And
it lasts a long time. They cut in between that and songs. They keep revisiting it. It's a motif oh, Beyonce's in the bathroom again.
She says, I'll be right back.
She's
and
doing
then
that
the
ending,
jumbo.
Where she's like, ah. And they go to the toilet. She's like, ah.
Beyonce, what'd you eat?
It's her pre-show ritual.
Yeah.
The greatest cut in 2023.
I knew I shouldn't have had Del Taco sponsor the tour.
Yeah, she always gets Del Taco.
Always gets a steak. Scarfs down a bag of Del Taco before she goes on stage.
Haven't stinking.
Cool.
Haven't stinking. Good grief. Well, speaking of stinking, we got some Christian music to talk about. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
When you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry. It's Singles Ministry. Wasn't that much of a pause that time.
He's getting a little bolder. He's not shy.
Yeah, he comes out quicker than he does. Singles Ministry, which is the format in which we take one single song and talk about it for the entirety of the second half of the episode. We're talking about Fillmore and their classic abstinence anthem, Worth the Wait.
Worth the Wait.
Jordan, why'd you pick Worth the Wait?
You know, this song just like weirdly lives in my brain. I believe it was released in 2000. So that was my senior year of high school. And maybe I saw these guys like open for a Five Iron Frenzy or something like that. Cause I don't think they ever really like made it big. I don't think they ever like broke out. But yeah, this song is a weird combination of like, totally ridiculous, but also so competent and such a good example of the form, I think, But also just like has the, you know, crazy baseline of being an abstinence song. I don't know. I just like, I like it. I think it's funny. It's I've never forgotten about it. And I still like put it on occasionally. I'm like, oh yeah, there's that abstinence banger. And yeah, it just, I don't know. It lives in my brain and there's not many people I can talk about it with. So yes. I wanted to
welcome
talk
here.
About
that's
it with
kind
y'all.
Of why, yeah, that's kind of the reason we exist.
Yeah.
So you can talk about
yeah
this song with them. A little context on the band itself. I'm taking this from the Encyclopedia of Contemporary Christian Music, which lives on this shelf and is sort of the Bible for our podcast. But they did exist early enough that he had a little entry to them, which you may or may not agree with. I'm curious. The band Fillmore offers the musical equivalent of a shotgun wedding between the Hatfields and the McCoys.
What?
They merge 80s punk music with Whoa. The glam metal sounds that such music was originally rebelling against. Mm. And they do it under the banner of It's All Rock and Roll. The group organized in Iowa, then relocated to Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is where I'm from.
Shout out to Tulsa.
Local boys make good.
I will see the people of Tulsa very soon. Their debut album, For 5 Minute Walk, kicks off with a pair of songs that sounds like Ramones clones. And then on track 3, Fillmore suddenly fires up some electric guitars and moves into a sound that might have Sid Vicious rolling in his grave, but has wowed many an audience.
Wow.
I'm skipping through. Fillmore is blatantly Christian and message-oriented in their lyrics. Our Finest Hour celebrates an apocalyptic victory when Christians and angels storm the gates of hell to destroy the hosts of darkness. It seems to be inspired by Frank Peretti's novels like This Present Darkness and suffers from the same theological problems that plagued Petra's militant anthems of the 80s. If Only You Knew expresses God's love for sinners through the words of extravagant affection placed on the lips of Christ, etc. So that was Mr. Powell's sort of take.
No mention of Worth the Wait in that?
No mention of Worth the Wait. Okay, our Finest Hour.
Yeah.
I know. If only you
Hatfield
knew.
Hatfield and McCoys were mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the warring family icons were
very
mentioned.
Very heightened.
But let's listen to a little bit of
Worth the Wait. We'll be standing face to face. Everybody in the place says I know they'll be happy. And as we walk back up the aisle, I will turn to you and smile. Cause I know we'll be happy. And I will look to you, and you will look to me. A million thoughts race through my head.
Is it their wedding?
Smiles all you see.
Yes.
And I will stand beside you. I'll hold your hand and say, you are worth the wait.
What?
I made the choice to wait.
I'll be happy. I will be happy. It'll be worth the wait.
Swear to God, I'm happy. Stop saying I'm not. Stop telling me I should go to therapy.
So this is something I found in the research.
Yes.
There was a song written kind of in response to this called Wait For It in the musical Hamilton by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, wow.
Where he says, I'm not going to wait for it.
So this is a Southern Man, Sweet Home Alabama thing.
Yes.
Wow.
Kind of a musical, Hatfields and McCoys.
Oh, yes. Very much so. Kind of their thing.
Yeah, in every interview about Hamilton, Lin-Manuel is just like, listen, there's this Christian pop punk band from the early 2000s who really pissed me off.
Fillmore being so cheesy, they don't want to get pleased. Feeling a little too weak. Well, okay.
So
that is Worth the Wait by Fillmore.
Worth the Wait.
This is not a song you can stream on music services.
No, not on Apple Music.
What happened?
What? What's going on?
These
here?
Have all been kind of like uploaded to YouTube with just like the album artwork as the visual.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if what happened to the record label. But write your local Spotify. Tell them you want more Fillmore on there.
Oh yeah.
Send 10 cents to Fillmore for just hearing this
That's
song.
True. Yeah, I don't know if they get anything off the YouTube stream, but yes, please.
YouTube.
Please send a fraction of a cent.
The people's streaming service is YouTube.
Right.
That's where all the good stuff is, all the good bootlegs are.
Mm-hmm.
So we've encountered many a song on the podcast like this. Of course, famously, Rebecca St. James, Wait For Me, an abstinence anthem. Probably the abstinence anthem of that period of music. And this is sort of the punk equivalent. There's the Big M.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because a lot of the Christian music I listened to growing up, a little bit of Amy Grant, because it was on around the house, but a lot of it was this kind of like, you know, pop punk, ska, indie rock, you know, kind of like popular alternative rock band, but Christian, you know. So I have not encountered a lot of abstinence songs. This is the only one I know of. So I also wanted to ask, you know, in other genres of Christian music, will you get songs with these themes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a rich text.
Uh-huh.
Especially because and I don't think there's anything particularly malicious about this, but when you're courting a younger audience...
Sure.
And you feel inclined to propagate a certain worldview or ideology, then you want to make it something. Because something I noticed about this song that's true about these other songs too, is that it's generally not explicitly shame-based of like, you're going to ruin your life. And I mean, there's things like, I don't want to throw it away, but it's like, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It is sort of like this dangling carrot, so to speak, of like, it's awesome.
Right.
If you do this now, it's so funny to have a punk song about discipline.
Self-control.
And patience.
And your wedding day.
Long-term
and how
amazing goals.
And how amazing your wedding day is going to be.
Because yes,
right around this time, you know, Blink's out there doing songs about masturbating, about sex with MILFs. And these guys are like, your wedding day is going to be so cool.
Yeah. The only MILF you'll love is the mother of your children.
It's the mother of your, yes. It's the only.
Okay, someone's got mom brain.
There's a specific line in this that I do think about a lot. And it really reminds me of like a kind of Christian guy I knew growing up. It's the... I had so many chances to throw it all away.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is this kind of like alpha Christian guy that is like, well, I could,
right.
I could if I wanted to. I have a lot of almost sex has happened to me. Yes. I had my youth group leader was like this growing up, was a real like,
oh really?
You know, would kind of like come and like talk about. So he was also a waiter at PF Chang's. And
okay, hot.
Yes.
So, you know, he's seeing the best of the best.
Oh,
what do they call
yeah.
that in the bivocational at the church,
oh,
I
funny.
Think, when
I
you have like a real life job.
Wait, is that
and
true?
Then also a church job. Yeah. Paul, famously bivocational.
Oh,
he's
really?
A tent maker.
Okay.
You know.
Paul's a bi king.
You got to have the original side hustles.
So he was juggling PF Chang's shifts. And then you crazy
youth group.
Kids.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And then he would talk about all of the servers at PF Chang's.
What would he tell you about PF Chang's?
So,
I really want to know.
So there's one. So I have this one specific discussion where we were talking about, you know, abstinence and waiting. And he's like, you know, like it's just you'll have a lot of temptations out there. Like this one other server at PF Chang's. She came up to me, you know, in the break room and said, voulez-vous coucher avec moi, which means, will you come to bed with me? And at the time, I was like, oh, that's what it, these women are going to come up to you and they're going to speak French and they're going to try and seduce you.
Right.
And I'm like,
it's going to be at the P.F. Chang's break room.
In the P.F. Chang's break room. A, this probably didn't happen. But B, if it did, she was probably just singing along to a popular song of the time that would probably have been playing in P.F.
Yeah, this is 2001, 2002 era. This would be Moulin Rouge's heyday.
Yeah, sure.
So. She called me Lady Marmalade for some reason. Right, so boys, be ready
for
that.
That's what secular women will say. It's a code they use for condomless sex.
She came up to me out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. I was just trying to do my prep work.
Server flirting, you know, which is just a thing. And sure. It doesn't mean like she's going to go home with you that night.
Yeah. But yeah, this, there's this kind of posturing of like, oh yes, we're writing the abstinence song, but like we want to.
Yeah. Because it's not a cool song. If it's like, no one has tried to have sex with me. No one wants to do me, but I'm not doing it, right. You know?
And it's our wedding night, so you'll be obligated to. That's when you're obligated to have sex with me.
Someone who has to.
It's tradition.
That's so funny.
The village elders demand it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that wouldn't be the requisite amount of tension and conflict of like, no one wanted to, so I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Straight line into matrimony.
Nobody.
And there's also the line in there. It's like, it's a choice I made and you made the same choice too. So there's a little bit of a like,
there's a little
and you also better have, because I did. Right. And if I'm out here dry humping, you also better be.
A message for the ladies.
A message for the ladies. Yeah. Like, watch yourself. It's not just us fellas who have to keep it in.
I'm trying to think of like just general... regular music, for lack of a better term, secular music, that is based around the themes of romance and then waiting for someone or waiting for the right person or the special person. The only thing that's coming to mind right now is Seasons by Future Islands.
Oh,
I've been waiting on you.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Future Islands.
It's all right, right? Like, have you ever heard Future Islands, Caroline? You might like them.
Maybe.
Like really dreamy synth pop and rock, and then a guy with a super weird voice
who looks like your dad's friends.
Yeah, who looks like an accountant.
Yeah,
and seems to be very nice in all interviews.
Yeah, yeah. I saw them at a music festival, and it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, I know this song. Like, you know, this is a regular KCRW band.
Sure.
And then like seeing them live, you're like, oh, this is kind of a fun experience because this, you know, this intense guy is shouting and also looks like a manager at a big five.
And then he'll go, wow,
that guy.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Has a raw sexuality on stage that maybe you wouldn't expect from.
He looks like a P.F. Chang's server.
Yeah. That guy gets up to some wild shit in the break room.
The break room is going down. Why do I feel like P.F. Chang's staff actually really have interesting lives?
I bet they do. Right?
Because it's frozen in that moment in time in which P.F. Chang's
was like
did feel kind
of fancy.
Yeah, it felt a little premium.
But also a chain.
$2 on Yelp. $2
on Yelp. Yeah, the premium life of P.F. Chang's. That's so funny. I love that he kept bringing that up.
Yeah. So anyway, do you now just like on a musical level, the chords, the hooks, do you guys like this song?
I love this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm not always, you know, a punk girl,
sure.
But I just think this is really good and fun and like delightful actually.
Mm-hmm. And this fucking drummer, this drummer's taken down some ice cream treats because.
Yeah. He's fueled.
Is he sober?
I don't know. Oh, good question.
I think he's sober. From all the thighs and drumsticks.
Hasn't had a pre-wrapped ice cream treat in 10 years. No Häagen-Dazs bars.
Ugh, great strength.
No Chocodiles.
What happened to Brett Schoenman? Brett Schoenman is the name of the drummer.
What happened?
Let's not.
I think he's in real estate.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Good for him. That's a nice fallback.
Boys in real estate.
That's a good transition.
Justin owns a photography company. Kale is now a fireman.
Oh, great.
Those were the brothers.
Kevin, if you ever transition to real estate, I think you'd do really well.
That's so damning.
That you would look great on a bus bench.
No, I think that's like a compliment.
You put a curse on me just now. That is irrevocable. I curse you.
You and Dexter should take a photo in matching blazers standing back to back.
Kevin, Team Kevin and Dexter.
You're a real estate team.
Oh my God, that I would buy.
The failed LA career to real estate pipeline. One, yeah. A neighbor of mine who I used to go to church with was like this like really good looking guy, so charismatic, so kind, and he moved back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he now does very well in real estate.
I'm telling you. Well, here's the thing. Number one, one of my favorite shows of all time is a real estate show. So this is like
Selling Sunset.
Okay.
And two, I see it as like it's a career for like hot people who are like really good and charismatic and everyone likes them, but they're like, I'm not gonna work in an office, obviously. So
I mean, yeah.
You have it. You can keep that in your back pocket.
We'll see what 2024 brings. Yeah.
Nobody's pivoting to real estate. We're all gonna do great. We all have
Should that have
been one of my resolutions in our second service?
Get your real estate license.
Take those classes.
Yeah.
It's time.
Hey, you always want to be a student all your life?
Good time in LA.
It's a buyer's market.
Yeah, is it actually right now?
I don't know. I don't even really know what buyer's market means.
You can
means.
Always say that and you're probably right.
It's like the worst market. It's ever been, but it'll never get better. Right.
Yeah. It'll only get worse from here. So
worth the wait.
Worth the wait. My starter house was worth the wait.
Yes. It's just a hole in an empty plot of land, but it's home. It's mine.
Yes, exactly.
I went Zillow surfing the other day and then went...
Crashed.
And then went to Walmart drowned. And said, 4 guns, please.
I really want to kill them. I want to kill myself good.
I'm taking them all down.
Certainty, with absolute certainty. One of them gets jammed up.
Yeah.
4 guns, please.
Now it reminds me, it just takes some time. Da, 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 da.
Oh, yeah. Like, a little... Yeah, this is kind of around the time that like Jimmy Eat World was coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that's like a classic intro too, but just the way the guitar comes in at the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think these guys, you know, I think never really made it big. And I think they were just a little bit, they were a little bit late. I think if this would have come out in 1995, it would have been fucking huge.
It'd been crushing.
But I think it was just like, emo's kind of here, rap rock's kind of here. This seems a little old fashioned, I think.
Wow.
So, anyway.
That's so sad.
Watch to pass them by.
But, you know, now they have wonderful careers in both public service.
Firefighter.
Yeah, that's great.
Also
that's
a hot person
that's
job.
That's hot.
Yeah, there you go.
So firefighters and real estate people are hot?
Yeah,
what about photographers? That was one
yeah,
of
that's the other job.
Yeah, Justin's a photographer.
You can kind of see their photos in the album art. I don't know if they are actually hot.
Photographers, I don't know. That could go either way. Yeah. Wedding photographer, you're probably hot.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
You think?
You're like a very hot woman.
Wait a minute.
But if
you're right.
You're a hot woman.
You're better to deliver the last temptation to the groom. The final temptation, they call it.
That's part
hot
of the
wedding
package
photographer.
They offer now.
Yes.
They'll do like, well, and
we'll
do a test.
We'll test your husband.
We'll do the groomsman room test to get ready.
I'm going to be really flirty while I'm adjusting your husband and, you know.
Do you guys ever watch those TikToks where girls will do, they'll ask someone to like test their boyfriend for them?
Oh, that's
my God.
DMs. Often they find out things.
What do they find out?
Well, it'll be like, hey, can you reach out to my boyfriend? I feel like he's like, you know, probably sneaking out. And so then the girl will like DM the guy and he'll respond. And then it'll be like, yeah, let's meet up. You know, when you want to meet up, whatever.
And it's like a known
public service.
And then they make TikToks out of it. And then
yeah.
they make
yeah. I mean, they obscure his name and face and everything.
Wait, so it's someone the guy already knows, like a
it's
friend?
Kind of like Ryan's Roses, but on TikTok form.
That's right.
Do you know Ryan's Roses?
I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan Seacrest on his morning radio show for years. And these are probably fake, keep in mind. But he would have a woman call in. She's like, I think my boyfriend is seeing like his coworker, probably at PF Chang's.
Yeah.
that's where all the sluts work.
Where all the nastiest shit goes down.
He's going to the Can-Can Club at PF Chang's.
He's getting his lettuce French. Wrapped. And
wrap up that lettuce, fellas. Hey, listen, if you're going to cheat at PF Chang's, just wrap the lettuce. That's all we ask. Wow. Wrap your penis in the lettuce.
So Ryan's like co-host, this woman, will then call the boyfriend and say, hey, we're a florist shop. You want a free bouquet. Who would you like to send it to? Mm. And then the guy will be like, I want to send it to Jessica, who's not the girlfriend. Mm. And then they have the girlfriend like jump in on the line. And then she just starts yelling at him. And then they're like, all right, we're going to wrap it up now. Bye, guys. Ryan's Roses.
Ryan's Roses.
An institution.
It's a funny thing. Like, we're a flower shop and you won. Like, what a strange.
That premise alone, I'm always like, yeah, I feel like any man getting that would be like, I don't know. Like, let me check.
My mom?
Yeah. Or right. It sounds like a scam.
Yeah, that would be a funny, like, little surprise. I would like to send them to my mother.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they do that. Yeah. Or they will send it to the girlfriend, and then it's like, yay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am so paranoid now about being tested in the future. You're describing all of these.
Don't respond to any DM.
I would, okay, for the current state of my life right now, I would fail a test.
Well, yeah, you don't have anyone to be cheating on.
Right.
Except for Dexter. Yeah. So if you got other a really cute some dog. Other dog.
Hey, want to walk me? Are you available
Dexter
for walks?
Dexter shows up the screenshot. What is this?
Who's this?
Who is she?
Who's Snuffles?
It's always a moment when I'm hanging out with someone else's dog and I come home. Yeah. And he's like, oh, good to see you. Good to see you.
Then there's knows.
You can smell their cologne.
Eyes. Yeah. Aww. Oh, yeah. Every time.
And he's like, gives you the silent treatment all night.
Yeah. For once. Which is actually good.
Yeah.
Maybe she
can get a good night's sleep.
Wow. Okay. Yes. But, wow.
I love that your reaction now is like, ooh, I got to be careful.
Well, that's true all the time. But,
true.
Man.
Yeah.
I might be someone's content. That
yeah,
might
you should
be
another
any
TikTok
given time.
Target.
Listen, you can walk into your gym today and be someone's content. So you better be careful.
There you go.
Another brick in the FYP wall. Oh, man.
What's yeah. FYP stand for?
For your pleasure.
For you page on the like the feed on your TikTok.
Gotcha.
Page. Yeah.
You know, I don't have TikTok myself.
Oh, you don't?
Yes. Just another way in which I am.
Not
I ensnared.
I scrolled through this morning and I found myself on Caroline's TikTok of her 2023.
Oh,
recap.
You did? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was in
it.
There a few times.
Ooh,
even
I always like it too when I made a few friends on Instagram and it always felt good when they posted the 2023 recap.
Yeah, that does feel good.
A lot of photos.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll talk about the song. But my last thing is,
what else would you say?
Because do you do like a video every day or just like sporadically throughout?
Very sporadically. Okay. I used to try to do it every day. And then it was like not only such a long recap video, but it was very boring.
Laptop, Nate, laptop, Scampi, laptop, Nate,
yeah,
me.
Kevin. Yeah.
Is Scampi a pet?
Scampi's a pet.
Okay.
Scampi's
a pet. Are you just filming strip sure. Scampi?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she eats a lot of Scampi.
Scampi is a huge part of
right.
my
podcast
life.
Scampi.
More aesthetically pleasing. Yeah.
This arguably. Baby was built on
gym,
Scampi.
Tan, laundry, Scampi.
That's so funny. But I've been doing it every day since the beginning of 2020.
Okay.
But I've been procrastinating editing them together.
Oh, so you'll have just a super long one when you finally
yeah, and I
out.
Might yeah. do it where it's like not every single day. Because the last time I did it in full was 10 years ago. It was 2014.
That was a great one.
And I was happy with that. But now it's like, there's so much where it's like, well, some of this is from 3 years ago and I haven't seen this person in 2 years
yeah.
or whatever.
All right. We'll bring that
like,
back.
Yeah. I don't know how to cut around. But yeah, maybe look for a mega.
Wow. I didn't know you were still
recap.
Doing that.
Still doing it. Oh, yeah. Every yeah. day.
It'll be like one of those long ass YouTube videos about plagiarism.
Yeah, yeah, like some sort of video essay or something. But yeah, I'm sure y'all will both be in
ugh,
one of them.
Cannot wait.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Fingers crossed.
That's the goal.
Right
that's
now.
The dream.
I gotta do it right
oh,
now.
Oh yeah,
probably be me
just
eating.
To make sure. Oh my gosh,
I'll do a podcasting face. I'm podcasting.
So, he's having so much fun. Oh, look at that.
That's random. I was just doing some podcasting.
Gesturing.
Okay, yeah. Let's rate this song. We'll give it a holy toast. That's a thumbs up, George.
Yep.
A holy roast. That's a thumbs down. We send it. Or if we're not sure, we send it to purgatory, which is the space
between. Beautiful.
Caroline, we start with you.
I'm gonna give it a holy toast. I liked it. And, you know, abstinence message aside, I thought it was a little bit romantic.
Yeah,
it
is.
Sweet.
It's sweet. It is sweet.
It's sweet. I didn't find it to be, I found it to be more heavy on the romance and the excitement yeah. than the like, you know, personal shame and repression. Fine balance. And I also just really liked the music of it.
Yes.
It was fun. It was great. Go Fillmore.
Wow. All right. We turn it to Jordan.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wholly toast as well. Thumbs up for me. You know, as we mentioned, I think maybe there are some, you know, some little sprinkles of some toxic masculinity in here.
Just but, like this podcast.
Yeah, right, with famous alpha Kevin Porter. emphasis on the sprinkles. yeah, but I don't think it's anything. I don't think it's anything super aggro. And yeah, I think you know, got that great pop punk beat, mm-hmm. and yes, and very sweet. And the idea of like a pop punk song that takes place at a wedding is really cute.
I bet he would have wore Converse at his wedding.
Oh yeah, all the groomsmen probably wearing so chain cool. wallets. I got my
Converse
groomsmen.
At the wedding. Is so funny.
Yeah.
And the photographer would have been like, "Those look really nice.
Those look really nice. Are you seeing anybody?" Yes, I am, madam.
Congratulations.
In fact, I'm marrying her today, and you're the photographer.
Would you like some free roses to send to her? Yes, to her. Yes.
Would you like to send them to me, okay. the photographer?
Pass.
Yes, so thumbs up for me. Way to go, Fillmore. You should have been bigger than you were. Hopefully,
True.
There's a reunion tour in the works.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to give it a toast as well. I kind of agree with the romantic nature of waiting. Maybe I'm in like a sappy era right now. Yeah. But the idea of two people making decisions, maybe not about abstinence, but about other things.
Yeah.
For the future idea of each other is very touching to me, yeah. I think.
It is.
And part of a great tradition of songs about waiting. Waiting is the hardest part. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, sure.
Waiting on the world to change. John Mayer. Waiting for tonight. Jennifer. What's everyone else?
You named them all. Those are all the waiting songs.
Those are the big three. Mm-hmm. I guess those are big three.
That movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, sure. Where he's a waiter and yeah. there's a lot of
Servers.
Sexy adventures
yeah.
in that movie, I think. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I just remember Luis Guzman being very funny in that movie.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Good never. He's
he
one of those good never.
A lot.
All right. And on that note of loving Luis Guzman.
Yes.
Let's bring it down to
hey,
a space
for 2024, it's Guzman's year.
It's Guzman's year. Finally. He gets his flowers. Guzman, we're going to get you that Oscar, man.
Yeah.
No matter what.
What do we have to do?
What do we have to do?
Sure.
People are saying he's got the buzz.
Right. David Fincher, if you're out there, help Luis Guzman reinvent himself.
Yeah, maybe we'll get him nominated for his supporting role in Genie, Melissa McCarthy, straight
there
to Peacock.
Go.
Oh boy,
rom-com?
I'll watch that.
Christmas fantasy.
It's on my list.
He was on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune recently and did real good.
I bet so.
Yeah,
I'm on Family Feud.
Oh, gotta get him. Oh yeah, I would love to see him on Family Feud. I would love to see Luis Guzman and Steve Harvey mugging at each other. Oh, how funny.
Divine.
Who would he bring? Who would his family be? I don't know.
Guzman clan.
Well, Jordan, on other shows, you might plug yourself or promote your projects. We're not here to do that.
No,
we're here
of course
to
not.
Lift them
how
up
crass.
To the Lord, including something you might be enjoying in secular culture, the last great thing that you watched, saw, read, listened to, etc. And we'll start, as usual, with Caroline.
Lift me up at Caroline's Farts, as always. And I'm going to lift up the rom-com Anyone But You that just came out.
Ooh.
Listen, there's some hate coming at it. I understand. But I went to see it at the theaters, and I was laughing so much more than I thought I would. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
I think Caroline,
it was good for the form.
Caroline's Letterboxd review and then Nathan's Letterboxd review is my favorite.
Look that up for a
Letterboxd
nice little combo
moment of 2023.
I've heard the movie's maybe a little naughty. Is that the
it's a little naughty?
Is that the kind of the selling point? Like it's a rom com, but it's like
yeah.
raunchy, naughty.
It is. It's raunchy. There's real sex in it. Real.
Oh boy!
I really had sex.
Unsimulated.
They watch an
sex
episode of HBO's Real
in
Sex.
Anything but you.
Yeah, I mean, they get close, so it's like there's no faking it.
You can tell.
Then they have their fingerprints right next, so you can double check the identity.
They hold up their birth certificates while they're having sex. hot. It's real. It makes it hotter amazing. Is the weird like, part.
This is real as hell. Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's so good.
Everyone look up Caroline's Farts letterbox of it. And then huge Ackman's letterbox review of it.
Yeah.
Which is, I love my wife.
Yes. So I'll lift that up. Just all go right. Check it out. If you like a little rom-com, you're going
to
enjoy it.
Hey, maybe we'll have Sydney on the podcast this year to talk about Immaculate with Michael Mohan.
Sydney, come on GCF Challenge.
Yeah. We're all claim to love someone else's wife, too. Hmm. Jordan, we turn to you.
Yes, thank you. Let's see. As far as the recommendations for something that I'm not involved with, I read a wonderful graphic novel recently called Penny, a Graphic Memoir. It is, I forget the name of the artist. Kevin, maybe you could look it up. It is a writer-artist, and he has these beautiful...
Carl Stevens.
Carl Stevens. It's a beautiful set of comics about his cat, Penny. The guy's got a very beautiful kind of painterly style, and it is kind of like all of Penny's inner monologue. There
Scampi
you are.
Transcending.
Oh, yeah. And so it is very cute. It's very slice of life, but I think at certain points it gets a little more existential. It gets a little trippy at Ooh. Parts. I think at some points Penny begins to transcend reality.
Wow.
Just a really, really fun...
A regular occurrence in Caroline's house.
Yes, a fun, cute read, and I would recommend for any pet weirdos out there. Cat weirdos, certainly, but pet weirdos of all stripes, I think, would enjoy Penny, a graphic Penny. Memoir. And speaking of graphic novels...
Speaking of...
I wrote one coming out this year. It is called Youth Group. It is a YA horror comedy about a bunch of teenage exorcists who are in a goofy Bible study group where they all sing parody songs and make charts about abstinence.
I was going to ask if there was like approximations you did.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Of Christian music or,
yes,
or the songs.
Absolutely. So this, it is set in the 90s when I was a wee impressionable one going to youth group. Mm-hmm. I should say the art is by the great Bowen McGurdy, a great, really great artist whose work you might know from the Spectre Inspectors series and some issues of Marvel Comics. Bowen, a great genius. But yeah, this is it's a real labor of love. Yay. It is very it's one of those things where I I'm not a very personal writer. I'm kind of a very mercenary writer. I like to keep my health insurance going, so I will write whatever. But
He admitted it.
Yeah. But when I read this back, I was like, oh, this is actually very hyper-personal, and there's a lot of stuff in here about my childhood. But yeah, hopefully it is also very like funny and a little spooky. Hopefully it gives some Shaun of the Dead vibes, some Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibes. And and hopefully if you grew up going to any version of a young person's religious club, you will recognize some of the goofy stuff in there. Youth Group. It is available for pre-order now. It comes out in July, but oh boy, those pre-orders are real important for
pre-order
books.
Pre-order, everybody.
Yes. You can do that at Amazon. You can do that at Barnes & Noble. Or, hey, better yet, your local indie bookstore. Give them a call. You can tell them you want to pre-order at Youth Group. It's coming out in July.
Oh, yeah. Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congrats. Oh, my God. Yes.
I can't wait to read it.
Oh, thanks. Yes.
I might get a galley copy for review.
Maybe hook you up with some galley copies.
No, I'm going to pre-order my own. Thank you very much.
You're going to want a hard copy, of course, to display on your shelf. But, you know, if you're chomping at the bit to get in there.
I would love to
see about a galley copy.
All right, thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
Of course.
I only laugh at two things now: Steve Harvey and chatting with you guys.
Brought laughter back in your life.
Yes,
so happy.
The big two. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll lift up Blowout. I'll lift up Blowout. We were talking about Blowout before. Saw this movie, Caroline.
A hot young John Travolta,
called Blowout from 1981. The sort of De Palma thriller. And multiple times during the movie, I was like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Wow.
A little thrilling piece of, I mean, is it an exploitation movie? It feels a little tawdry in nature in parts of it. It's about sound, which you know I love. It's about... Yeah, about making sure the knobs
sounds,
and levels are
just
right. And I had a grand old time watching it with some pals last night. And I would recommend, if you're looking for something that goes down real smooth in a two-hour movie that feels 5 minutes long, Blowout.
Love it.
Watch Blowout next time you're looking for something. And lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate a dollar to charity. And find us for more good Christian fun on patreon.com/goodchristianfun. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
And there's nothing left to say except for the first time in 2024.
Well, okay. I love you, Emma.
Amen. Now watch this drive. And with that, we will go out for a song we're not going to wait for anymore. We're going to play it once more by Fillmore. Worth the wait.
There it is.
And we'll see you next week. Happy January 6th, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That was a HeadGum Podcast.